This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. An injury attorney, David Feminino, has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Feminino, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. Get your life back on track, getdavidgetpaid.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
4 o'clock, nice to have you with us. Red Wings Trade Talk, Hour 1, Odyssey.com Rewind. The biggest news out of the combine and a risk that we think would be interesting for the Lions to take, hour two. It's all there for you. But what we wanted to do is, okay, it's March. This is the 3 weeks people care about college hoops. So we wanted to have a conversation because Top 10 Rico is here, as I've been saying all day. This man, you can tell MSU's in the top 10 at EAP. He's wearing a cravat, a dress shirt. It's a big day. We wanted to set the table.
Just wanted to expand the wardrobe. Go ahead.
No, I like it. You look nice. The point is, I want to have you kick this off because I want to have a conversation about what the hell are our two teams and what are they not? Meaning, it's not good enough to go, well, you know, are you a contender? Contender for what? Now, my overriding opinion is no one's beaten Duke or Auburn. No one. I mean, Auburn's got two losses. One of them's the Duke. I'm not asking anyone to share that opinion, but it's a question of, okay, what are they? You can have ranked teams and, oh, but they're number 11 and you said they're not a threat. Well, because they're probably not built for the tournament, but it's Michigan State who has run this gauntlet. They're 5-0 in this unbelievable stretch. They've held five straight top 25 Ken Palm teams to under 70 points. They're playing this gridlock defense.
Right.
And then there's, you know, look, they have their weaknesses. Michigan, I worry about them because they can't stop turning it over. They don't rebound the basketball and they miss free throws. But you got a pair of 7-foot unicorns and against the right team, they can beat damn near anybody. So I wanted to get your viewpoint of what are our teams? And then obviously I'm going to ask you the penultimate question about your top 10 Michigan State Spartans.
Which team would you like for me to start with?
Bro, dealer's choice. You're wearing a dress shirt. I'm in a hoodie. So, I mean, you know.
I think for Michigan State, what you're looking at, Mike, is this is one of those classic Tom Izzo teams that he takes far in the tournament. Kind of void of stars, but they play team basketball. They play defense. I mean, they're literally allowing teams to only play 36 minutes while they play 40 because they shut the water off for the last 4 minutes and you don't score. I mean, I think in the last five games where they went 5-0, four against ranked teams, and in Illinois, all these, some of them on the road, 45-18. Michigan State outscored their opponents in the final 4 minutes, 45-18. Washington scored two last night. They got defense. Michigan State has depth, so they can wear you down. But I think the biggest thing that happened to Michigan State was Jace Richardson. Jace showed up. And now your three-pointers aren't falling. But when you need a basket, you know where to go. You give it to number 11, and he can create a shot. Or now he has defenses collapsing on him that he can just pass the ball off, and there's Cooper for a dunk. It's like, well, where's this been all year? So I look at this team, and, yeah, if you could play defense, you could play ball in the tournament. You can go far in the tournament, and it looks like You know, Izzo, for the first time going back to the days of Miles Bridges, may get his first outright Big Ten title since like 2017. So,
but I'm a bad guy because I criticize, you know, 8-year gaps and winning conference championships.
Well, they also won in 19 as well, but this is outright.
Yeah, it doesn't count when you get to share it. Who wants to share cookies? The point is, all right.
You didn't share cookies with your sisters?
No.
You're a bad person.
So here's my question. What are they? Like, I need you to really center in. Are they Sweet 16 good? Are they Final Four good? Or are they good good?
I'm going to say this. To me, looking at this team, they should be Elite Eight good, and depends on who's number one in their region, maybe Final Four.
Because if they play Auburn or Duke, they're dead.
If they play Auburn, I don't think they can beat Auburn.
You're selling a little hope against the Dukies.
I think the way that they play would work against Duke because Duke doesn't go deep into their rotation.
All right, so you think they're Elite Eight good. They'll be playing for a chance at a Final Four. That's their ceiling. Okay, Michigan. What the hell are they?
Michigan is a team that, unfortunately, they have 2 7-foot unicorns that's become one unicorn, and that's Flag Golden. And teams have figured out if you stop Wolf, if you really play defense, he doesn't like that. Wolf is now finding out this ain't the Ivy League where you were just the best player every night. Now you have different people able to play defense on you, and he is not the same. He has worn down, and their backcourt is awful. Donaldson, Michigan goes as Donaldson goes. Good Donaldson, they win. Bad Donaldson, you get dump trucked by 20 points. So at home on senior day, that's their problem. For Michigan, I told David this. Hear me out, Michigan fans, before you get angry at me, because there's a method to the madness, and David agreed. If you're Michigan, you may not win a game coming up, but for the rest of the season.
Oh!
Going into the Big Ten tournament. But that's okay, because the best thing for Michigan to do is lose Friday of the Big Ten tournament, because it gives the team a chance to rest. Because then they could go home, regroup, and they'll have a week to get healthy before jumping in the tournament. Because if Michigan happening to play, you know, 3 games in 72 hours, that's not going to be good for them.
The problem I have, and I'd love you guys to join in on this. I mean, I know, soliciting college basketball calls. I mean, I may as well go to door-to-door selling Bibles. But 248-539-9797. I said this to Cookies on the pod today. You know the 5-12 game? Mm-hmm. And we always see these matchups, and it's this pesky, like, press turnover-driven team. Like, I look at Michigan and I go, the way they play where they don't shoot free throws, they don't rebound, and they turn it over, they feel like a 5-12 upset.
St. Mary's, Michigan.
Yeah, like something like that. And I look, it's been a great year for Dusty May. He's done a wonderful job. He has. He took over a shipwreck.
He did.
The problem is he needed one of his FAU guards to come with him, like Johnny Davis, and they didn't. It's not a shot at Michigan, but I do think they're limited based on what I said. The state thing, I'd love to sit here and tell you they can win it all. I just can't. Here's how it could happen. But see, when you get into all the coulds and maybes, and it's like, well, if they avoid this team and that team and then this and that, it's like, well, then you're not that good. They're good.
Right.
This is the best they've been in at least 5 years. Agreed?
Yeah.
Okay. You could survive not being a really good three-point shooting team if you hit timely threes.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you on that. They don't have a star. I'm not ready to go there with Jace Richardson. I love the story.
No. And Mike, I'm not even saying he's a star. He's a scorer.
Right. But
big,
like,
difference.
When the shot clock's running down, I'm still looking at a half a dozen possessions of either Jeremy Fears, who hasn't shot a free throw in 10 games, or Trey Holloman. Now, God love him for the half-court shot, but
kind of like Michigan. Good Trey or bad Trey? Good Trey.
A bit of Jekyll and Hyde. There's no question. But what are our teams? And what do we have to look forward to this month? Look, it's still going to be a hell of a fun week. Michigan has seeding to play for. They're still in the mix for the Big Ten title. For state, yeah, obviously. You got to beat Iowa. And then Sunday, you're hoping to murder your rival.
Yeah.
So, it's all, what does it really mean? Can either of these teams hang a banner? I mean, I'm with Rico in this sense. If they can somehow avoid Duke or Auburn, could I see State make a Final Four? Yes. But that, to me, that's where it ends.
Because, I mean, watching some of the games, like, to me, Tennessee looks like SEC version of Michigan State. They like to play games low. They like to play defense. Not great shooting the three, even though they knocked one in to beat Alabama, because Alabama's a bunch of idiots. I don't know why they didn't call a timeout, but I digress.
Also, what the hell was that kid doing below the three-point line? I digress.
I was like, five-second count. You got two timeouts.
Hello.
Like, you know what? I hope you enjoyed those two timeouts back on the play.
Here's the other thing I would like to just say as a PSA. Cohen Carr probably should wear a diaper. He dunked so hard, he might end up with Jimmy Butler butt. Dude, he cuffed that second one. I go, diaper.
Yeah.
David, he's at risk of a blowout. And I'm not talking about his knees. That kid detonates the rim. He's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin was like, nope, I'm not going to be in this highlight. Go right ahead. Guy took a step back. But, David, and one more thing for Michigan. You can't leave points out on the court. Miss free throws and turnovers. That's the problem, is because you know you're good for at least 12 turnovers and at least 6 or 7 missed free throw shots. I don't know if you have that person to overcompensate that.
You don't, because then yesterday, then you want to give up 18 offensive rebounds on top of it? What? Can't happen.
They put on a clinic.
It was ridiculous.
Let's shoot this three, clank. Oh, that's okay, layup.
Like, rebound, I never believe we would get a defensive rebound. It doesn't matter. They're about to get it. Didn't score.
People, think of me as Sarah McLachlan asking you for a dollar a day to feed this child. For a couple of phone calls, we can talk one more segment of college basketball.
Is this a telethon?
Do we need to queue up in the arms of an angel? Do I need... Hold on. Right now, I want you to visualize a dog living in an oil drum. Can we get three human beings who give an F about Michigan and Michigan State March Madness?
There are starving assistant coaches in East Lansing and Ann Arbor.
Think of Mike Garland!
Right. What about the team managers?
It's Tom Crean living in the woods. Stan Heath in a sleeping bag. 248-539-9797. For a dollar a day, you can talk college basketball. Hey, Kenny, this is your spite play. We always say nobody cares about your league. Look at it now. This guy put on a dress shirt for nobody to call about hoops.
That's okay. We'll hit the podcast tomorrow. Talking college hoops, Michigan, Michigan State. What are these teams? Where do you see them going? Like I said, when it comes to Michigan State, this team built on defense, able to turn the ball, get you to turn the ball over. They can't shoot threes, not that well. Lately they have, but I wouldn't rely on Jaden Akins to go out there and hit as many threes as he did. Could be problematic, but they're able to get you to not hit threes. They had Wisconsin at 5 for 32 yesterday. I think that Elite Eight is, to me, where they are. Depends on who that number one seed is. Michigan. Michigan's got to cut down on the turnovers. They got to be able to rebound. And you got to get a good Trey Donaldson. If you do that, I think Michigan can do something, because with the 2 7-footers, most teams won't be able to defend both of those guys.
Let me give you an update here. Lenardi has his updated 1 through 16. He has Michigan State right now as the number 2 seed in the South region. Number 1 seed there will be Auburn.
Yeah. Okay. See you later. That was fun.
So, hey.
That's it.
And Michigan, by the way.
And it's in the South. So, because if they somehow caught a break and played in the Midwest in Indy, I think they would have the home crowd. But, yeah, good luck.
And Michigan is a 4 seed in the East. The 1 seed there is Duke. So, bye-bye.
It's been real. No, but listen, I want to thank the people. Now, for a dollar a day, you get to talk college basketball. Look at this. We're in a college basketball a telethon. Let's go to Eric, 97.1. Eric, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Do you need my Venmo, or how do I pay the dollar? Because I'll pay you a dollar to talk basketball for another 2 or 3 segments. But I'm so high on this Michigan State team, just because it gets back to their DNA of, like, the 2000s. Like, they get out and run, they rebound, they defend. And I mean, that's why I think they will stay in almost every single game they play for the rest of the year, but their shooting still scares the heck out of me.
Yep.
They go through these stretches, and against better teams, that's going to be a problem. You know, Wisconsin's 11, and we fell down to them early. But I never once thought early, like, okay, we're not going to get back in this game. But you do that to a Duke, you do that to an Auburn, you do that, you know, deep in there, and you're not going to crawl out of that hole.
No,
that's what scares me.
You know what it kind of reminds you of a little bit, Eric? Obviously, they play a much more pleasurable style of basketball to watch. But it's what Virginia used to do to you.
Yeah.
They would just compress the game. They'd lock you down. You couldn't blow them out. Now, with MSU, five straight ranked opponents under 70. That's real defense in 2025. You're right. And they have held those opponents, I believe, what is it, 24% from deep?
Yeah. I mean, so, Wisconsin, who might, lives and dies with 3-0.
Yeah. So, again, yeah, Eric, it's possible. Left. I think the thing for them is what you said, Eric, at the start of your call. They do go through some stretches here where you look at it and you go, oh, my God. Like, they'll go 4.5 minutes without a basket.
Every game.
You're like not getting away with that against real good teams. You're not. Not in a tournament, you're not.
A few games ago, I thought Tom sort of did something I haven't seen him do before when we see that 2-3 zone. Is he with the four guards? Because when you put, you know, Cooper in the middle of the zone or Kohler, like, they're just not getting it done. But if you put a guard out there who can get in the middle of that zone, that seemed to unlock it a little bit. I still think we're going to see a lot of zone, you know, come tournament time. But I think that was the first time I've seen him.
The thing that killed him, look, against Indiana, they had open shots. They didn't hit them. I don't think I'm speaking out of school there.
No.
Now, there have been a couple instances since that game. What kills me, and I mean, Eric, I'm not going to play the Ben Carter card here, but still, can we get the ball entered at the free throw line, for Christ's sakes? That's high school stuff. Come on.
No, it is, but now here's the thing, Eric. If you don't play zone regularly, they'll burn you on that. Michigan tried doing that zone thing, and they forgot to check Carson Cooper, and he was wide open underneath the basket for a dunk. Yep. So if this is what you do, problematic. Like, honestly, Syracuse is a team they wouldn't want to see, and I'm not trying to get PTSD to Spartan fans, but that would be very hard for them to go up against them. But in this thing, yeah, they're starting to shoot a little bit better, and as you said, they're putting that four guards in there. If you want to zone them, we're going to try to find a way to get something, or we throw an alley-oop to Cohen Carr.
Well, what's interesting, too, is it's reminiscent of the COVID team, the Cassius team, is that there's a craftiness about their offense where, like, I don't know the right way to say it. It's almost like in football, like when a guy is great at finding the soft spot in the zone, you negotiate where you need to get, and you make yourself available. Right. Their bigs do an incredible job, and the guards, conversely, finding the open spots, diving to the basket. I mean, it's like Lob City, and you're like, the last 5 years of MSU hoops, it's been unwatchable.
Right, and now
this is actually interesting.
Because they've taken a couple big men who aren't really that great, and they run the double horns offense, and one's going to go off the pick and ends up with a Carson Cooper dunk.
How's your boy Kareem doing? No, I'm kidding. I don't know if that story's for public consumption.
I was talking with another media member, and we're walking into the locker room, and, you know, he's like, yeah, I love listening to the show, but, you know, we got to talking about Jackson Kohler, and I'm like, well, you know, Mike came around from the whole Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and all of a sudden I hear somebody giggling. I was like, okay, that wasn't really that funny. And then I look, there's a man there with a Jackson Kohler t-shirt on, and I'm like, and that's your son, isn't it? And he started laughing like, I love it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
See?
So it's endorsed by Big Kareem.
You got to fix that haircut. What? I still don't know what you call Jackson Kohler's haircut.
Maybe the ladies love it.
Okay. Let's go over to Freddie, 97.1. Freddie, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon.
So I'm a Michigan fan. Mike, I appreciate you trying to be nice, but I don't think Dusty May's done a very good job.
Really?
I don't. Turnovers are something that good coaching takes out throughout the season. Here we are with three games or so remaining, and these are bad turnovers. I mean, they're bad. If you just watch this, like, what are you doing? And the other thing I think burns me up is it seems like their effort is so lackadaisical. So it's like when you're getting the ball past, you come to the ball. It's just like, oh, well, I meant to get there, but I just didn't.
The turnover. Illinois game, I will agree with you, there was an effort issue there. There was a focus issue. Freddie, meet me in the middle on something. All I know is I've watched plenty of Tom Izzo teams that would have an egregious number of turnovers. It's directly linked to a lack of quality guard play. That's why Michigan's got to have a 7-footer initiate the offense. They don't have any guards.
So yeah, and that's true. I agree because it's Wolf turned the ball over a lot, but he's trying to be Lamar Odom, and
yeah.
it looks so bad. But it just, like I said, it burns me up. It's just the effort. But
I guess I just viewed it, Freddie. He took over basically a 10-win team, and he's got you as a top 4-5 seed. He hit the portal. He crushed it. He got Golden from FAU. Wolf was arguably the number one player in the portal. I'm just giving the guy some credit now. Now, you're right, Freddie. If it looks this way next year and he isn't able to bring some guards in, you're going to be right.
And I think the problem was Donaldson's inconsistent, Freddie, and Mr. Basketball last year, I think Fat Brooks.
Excuse me?
Fat Brooks.
I know. I'm just trying to trip you up.
He didn't come into the Big Ten with gangbusters. He'll never get, you know, mistaken for Jace Richardson.
But does Mr. Basketball mean anything anymore?
No, it doesn't. Not in this
honestly.
State. Not in this
hey,
state.
Where'd Mr. Basketball go 3 years ago? Hillsdale. Well, it doesn't mean anything.
No, but see, I thought this time it was. Michigan took him. Like, okay. Like, they haven't done it yet. But Trey McKinney going to Michigan next year from U of D. No, St. Mary's. From St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, yeah.
He'll probably be Mr. Basketball. And for him, he's got to be looking at this saying, I know I'm starting from day one.
What about? Because we need the guards. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
What about Darquez Tucker? All right. Marquise Gray.
I mean, Mr.
I actually saw him at the game.
He's alive?
Yes.
Okay.
He's alive.
What's he up to?
Coaching. High school.
Okay. 248-539-9797. Our basketball telethon is working. This is tremendous. What the hell are Michigan and Michigan State contenders for what? And you choose the level.
As a matter of fact, $1 and we'll match you rebound for rebound, turnover for turnover.
What's your favorite Brandon Cotton memory? 248-971. All right, David, couple of ticket texts before we get back to the people. On our college basketball telethon, i.e., please call. No, just because, look, it's the kickoff to March. We wanted to at least do a couple segments on Michigan State, and they are contenders of what? Rico's got MSU as an Elite Eight team. Michigan has...
I think they run out of steam, Mike. You know, maybe a round of 32.
Okay, David, what do you got?
Yeah, sure. MSU is due for another Final Four. They are built for deep tournament play with the depth and the guards. They will make it to a Final Four. Wow.
I mean, listen, it's not beyond the realm of possibility, but I worry about them because of the shooting. And when you get into the tournament and you don't have a go-to guy and you're gripping, the pressure's up, right? You're not at home. You're not at the Brez. Those are some hard moments. And when you don't have like a Cassius Winston just near term, when you don't have that guy to go, here, save us, that's a very difficult way to play.
Shot clock's under 10 and go. Make the basket. You got Jace, who's emerging. He's accepting that role.
Michigan is massively flawed, and they overachieved early. It's a Sweet 16 team at best right now. MSU, though, looks very dangerous, and with a decent draw, could make the national title game.
The thing about Michigan State, and it was after post game, and it was Matt Painter. I asked him, how do you game plan for a team with no star? And he was just like, that's a great question. It's hard to do because a lot of teams, like you play Duke, Cooper Flagg's at the top of the whiteboard. We got to stop him from doing this. We got to stop him from doing that. For MSU, who? Because you got 7 people who average 20 minutes or more. You don't know who's going to be the scorer. Now, that can come back to burn you because like nights like Maryland, where nobody's making a basket, you know, you're like, well, we need a star. We need somebody to step up, as you've been saying. But other than that, it's difficult because it's, okay, if you stop Jaden Akins, they can still win if Jaden Akins scores 6 points.
You should have asked them, how do you manage to start an Amish point guard? Sure as hell looks like it.
He's just got the Kenny Cott beard.
And that's an insult to Kenny's beard.
No, it's not. They're both very strong beards.
Yeah,
and I know this.
But only one of them builds furniture.
I know
and
this.
And it ain't Kenny.
I'm in the beard legacy, so.
Let's go to Tom, 97.1. Tommy, what's going on, bud?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hold on 1 second. Well, Michigan, I don't think, as a Michigan fan, I don't see them even getting through the weekend. I could see them losing their first game. They're so inconsistent, and I go back to watching that Northwest or the Nebraska game. That was the worst basketball game I think I've ever seen in my life. And they can't rebound. The guard play is terrible. And you look at yesterday's game, they had 9 assists. I mean, that Wolf tends to try to drive the basket too much, make bad shots, and if he gets fouled, he can't shoot free throws. I mean, inconsistent guard play is going to take them nowhere.
Well, and look, this is the thing, and it's why I've given May so much credit. It's year one. It's not a finished product, and you're right, they're flawed. But, I mean, it's just look, at the start of this season, I don't think anybody had real designs on Michigan being, for most of the year, a top 15 team or top 20 team. So,
no, I agree.
You know, look, I'm not going where David and Rico are going, that they're not going to win a game the rest of the year. I'm not going to do that. But I understand what they're saying is that when you get to this point in the year, what are the things that cost you neutral site / road games? I didn't shoot free throws well. Well, that's a problem for them. I didn't rebound the basketball well. That's a huge problem. I turned the ball over. I mean, the combination of not rebounding and turnovers, you are giving away a dozen extra possessions, mm-hmm. 15 extra possessions. So that part, but now here's the other side of the coin. How many teams in college basketball have a pair of 7-footers that can play off of each other the way that you have? Not many. My fear will be if you play a team that forces turnovers, that presses, that are hyper-athletic, that are aggressive, I think that could eat Michigan alive.
Yeah, the only problem, David, stop me if I'm wrong, because I don't want Michigan fans to say I'm the turnovers that they have, Mike, are from teams that's pressing.
It's correct.
From teams that's just playing token defense.
Right, I'm saying teams that
when they get one.
The old school Arkansas 40 minutes of hell.
Not even that. I'm saying someone who's willing to pick you up full court.
Gotcha.
Someone who's going to go real on-ball defense. No, you're right. I'm saying if you add that to the mix... Oh, Jesus. That's a distinct problem.
It's just everything that I'm seeing, everything that I'm watching tells me they won't win another game. And then I know this isn't the gospel, but with
you
Lenardi,
don't think they can beat Maryland?
Here's the thing. But hold on.
I did a little advanced scouting. The line's not out, but talking to somebody in Vegas, as of now, Maryland will be favored.
See, and You're leaning in my direction because I know what Lenardi does. It's not the gospel here, but he has Michigan at the 16th team. They are the fourth number four seed. Maryland is not that far behind them. So you lose to Maryland and then lose again in the tournament.
Now you're in the
and now you're
seed.
The 5 seed. 5-12.
Then it's my 5-12 prophecy.
Exactly. So that everything's leaning in that direction.
Okay, you don't have to yell.
Their next games would be against 3 ranked teams. Would be Maryland, it would be Michigan State, and probably Wisconsin in the Big Ten.
Will they
tournament.
Still get the double bye?
Yes, I think they locked up the double bye. They've clinched the fourth double bye no matter what. But that means that you play the number 5 team, and the number 5 team would be Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's why I'm not killing you for saying it. I just got such a hard time believing they just straight up lose out.
Well, no, because when you look at the team, the reason why I say that, Dusty May is going to have to do a lot of work and soul searching right now.
A lot.
Because it's the body language, Mike. It's not, okay, we lost. It's, we're always losing. It's just that they don't believe in themselves right now. And that's the biggest problem. Like, I don't know if they can shake off this game and move on to the next one. It was almost like they celebrated that the victory over Rutgers. And then, it was like, oh, they forgot Illinois was coming in here because they was Yaka Jonas didn't even have a good game. And they still got beat by 20.
Oh, by the way, you can add Rutgers to your when your NIL goes wrong. Kansas, Arkansas, Rutgers. Rutgers got 2 top 5 NBA players in the NIL land.
That wasn't even NIL. That was just they're freshmen. But I got you.
Come on now.
Yeah.
They're making more money than Sor Thompson. Don't tell me it's NIL.
This ain't Pikel's best job.
It's been a disaster.
Right, because I'm like, you were supposed to be at the top of the Big Ten. You're not playing in the Big Ten tournament.
Rutgers. Okay. You know what? I was gone for a week. You guys really added some new things. We'll get more to people. Let me keep it somewhat timely. Wow. Where did that come from?
Who said it?
Okay, good stuff. 248-539-9797. I can actually say this with a straight face. The weather is warming up. 40 today, 50s the next few. We're going to have a 68-degree day here in the next week. I'm telling you, Doppler Guido, I'm all over it.